In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Hey, it's movie time here on Downtown. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. We have Alan Adams, who works for everybody in the family as well. Hello, sir.
I do. I work for everybody in the family.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, as always. It's nice to be here. Beautiful day.
Isn't it great out there?
Yeah.
Steamy later in the week, like summer.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right? It's like, you know, you get to a certain point where it's like, oh, right, it does get hot. It just, you know, there's usually some sort of transition period, but we've decided to do away with all that.
Finally, Saturday, I put an AC unit in our bedroom window, and we used it for like 2 hours, and that was it.
Sure.
But it sounds like later in the week that feeling will come back again, and that's fine.
Yeah, no, I meant to pull the trigger and put the AC unit up this past week, and did not. And so, we've had a couple of fairly stifling evenings, so that'll probably go in sometime in the next couple of days. It's, judging from the forecast going forward, it's time.
I think it is, yeah, for later this week, certainly. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Nice to get out there and play with everybody on Friday night. That was a lot of fun.
Got a nice audience.
Yeah, good crowd. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, they just keep arriving later and later. And it's just one of those things. Yeah,
are people coming? And then whoosh, they all arrive at like 8:07.
Yes. So, you know, if you're a fan of the focus group and you're listening out there, feel free to show up, you know, 10 minutes earlier than you have been. So Basically when the show is scheduled to start, if you could be there, that would be awesome. We'll still wait because that's who we are and we know who you are. So yeah. It was a lot of fun, and we got another one right around the corner. July 19th, we're going to be at the Bangor Arts Exchange for our last show of the summer. We won't be back in action until the fall. So if you missed us on Friday and you want to check us out before the dog days really set in, July 19th will be your opportunity.
I don't know if my in-laws will be back to heckle us again.
Yeah, no, they were surprisingly vocal. I was not anticipating that. I mean, good for them. Like it was fun, and it's always nice to have an engaged audience. You know, you don't necessarily want them to be someone that you have a distinct personal connection to. It was fun, and it seemed like everybody had a pretty good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you got to see a movie this weekend too.
I did. Well, there were two movies in wide release, and I don't often do this, but I took a stand, and I was like, you know what? I don't know what the story is with this weird doll, but I'm not gonna do this.
Annabella?
Yeah,
or Annabelle. Whatever.
It's like I've dealt with enough sentient playthings over the last couple of weeks. It's like, and this is like the third one of those movies,
right?
And it's like I don't really. Like, I understand what they're doing with the Conjuring universe or whatever, but it's just like, I didn't see the first one and I didn't see the second one, so why on earth would I go see the third one? And again, one might argue, well, Alan, it's your job to go see them, but, I allow myself a few out clauses every once in a while, and this is one of them.
Good for you.
So the only one I saw this weekend, one that was greatly anticipated, I think, by a lot of people, yesterday. Directed by Danny Boyle, screenplay by Richard Curtis. It's one of those movies. And, I always kind of enjoy this, and I'm as big a fan of intricate plotting and, complex stories as the next guy, as far as it comes to film. But sometimes it's nice to go and just have a movie where it's like, yeah, someone could like, this movie can be summed up in one sentence, and it's like, what if you woke up and you were the only person who remembered the Beatles? Like, that's it. Like, that's the core conceit of this movie. And I remember when the first trailer dropped, people went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people went bonkers over this because it is such an interesting and high concept kind of idea. And it's, it's a fantastic filmmaking team. And, by the way, that band, the Beatles, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at music.
Exactly. And so great concept, great talent behind it. How's the execution?
You know, I think I liked it more than a lot of my fellow critics did. It's one of those movies where the divide between the opinions of the sort of critical side of things and the audience is pretty sharp. It's hovering right on the threshold on Rotten Tomatoes between fresh. It's like right around 60%, which is their sort of cutoff point between fresh and rotten. But the audience scores are through the roof. And the reason is it's very much a crowd pleasing sort of movie. There's a sweet simplicity to it. It's super fun. And, I think a lot of the critics are maybe digging it a little bit because one could reasonably argue that it doesn't necessarily live up to the hype that was generated when it first turned up, just because it was something that was so different. But as far as like ideal summertime counter-programming, like you can't do much better than this because while, again, I'm a strong proponent of all things superhero cinema, sometimes it's nice to just sit down and enjoy a fairly simple love story that just happens to be soundtracked by the greatest band of the 20th century. For those who are unfamiliar, the basic gist is you've got a gentleman by the name of Jack Malik, played by Himesh Patel, who's great. He's a struggling singer-songwriter, lives in the town of Suffolk in England, and he is getting ready to cash it in. He's like, you know what? I've been trying to do this, trying to make it as a musician for, 10 years. It's time for me to just officially give up the dream. He has a particularly unfortunate gig that does not go nearly as well as they might have hoped. And he's getting a ride. He gets a ride with his best friend / manager, Ellie, played by the wonderful Lily James. And he's like, he gets his bike, puts on his helmet, and he's like, you know what, this is it. I'm gonna go back to teaching. Like, I'm done with all of this. So he's on his bike, he's riding home, and then in a mysterious phenomenon that to my personal delight is never actually explained, the power goes out over the entire world for 12 seconds. In the span of that 12 seconds, Jack on his bike gets hit by a bus. And so he gets hit by a bus. He wakes up in the hospital. Like, he's all bruised and he banged up. He's missing some teeth. Like, it's been a pretty tough experience, but he's going to be okay. He's recovering fine. Like, his friends come, his family comes, everybody comes to see him and wish him well. Gets out of the hospital, goes and has a birthday celebration. It's his birthday. Meets up with his friends, like, on the beach. They're having some beers, hanging out, and Ellie, his best friend, who we're starting to think may harbor more than platonic feelings for Jack, who is clueless in a very stereotypically male way about this, they give him a guitar, and everyone's like, oh, you should play something. And so he just sits down and just sort of just strums his way through a couple of verses of Yesterday, which is it's a lovely acoustic guitar song. He goes through and everything, and he stops. Everybody's like, oh my God, Jack, when did you write that? And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's like, it's Yesterday, the Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And they're like, I don't know who those people are, but that's a lovely song. He's like, it's one of the greatest pop songs in the history of ever. And then he kind of gets crapped on a little bit because, for being arrogant or whatever. So he rushes home and it hits the Google machine. And wouldn't you know it, the Beatles, they're not a thing at all. Like, at all.
And a few other things, right?
Yeah, it's one of the best running gags of the movie is his periodic discovery that certain things don't exist in this world that he's very accustomed to in his own world. I'll give one away because it happens fairly early on. Coca-Cola, not a thing.
Ever.
Yeah, no. It's he asks for a Coke and winds up getting Pepsi because but no one knows what Coke is. So, stuff like that. But so he comes to terms with the fact that I don't know what's going on, but I'm the only person who remembers these songs. And so he takes it upon himself to try and recreate them. And even big Beatles fans, like, there are some songs out there that maybe don't stick in the memory quite like others. And so there are some great scenes of him trying to remember the lyrics to like Eleanor Rigby, and just like working his way through. And he sort of brings these songs to the forefront. Like he works at a local like a bulk retailer, one of those sorts of places. You know, he makes a homemade CD and like gives it away to people waiting in line and whatever. He appears on local TV chat shows. And this is where it gets fun. This is when Ed Sheeran shows up. Ed Sheeran playing Ed Sheeran in continuing this sort of tradition of famous people playing exaggerated versions of themselves to comedic effect. Ed Sheeran apparently saw him on one of the local chat shows, and he's like, "Hey, man, your songs are great. Come to Russia and open, you know, I had my opening act bail, so come to Russia and like open these concerts for me." Jack's like, "Oh God, sure." And then shows up in Moscow. And of course, what does he play? Back in the USSR, which literally no one on this planet has ever heard before because it's not part of the other stuff. And so Sheeran's like, "Oh my God, you're like some sort of, you know, like, how did you write this song on the plane on the way over here?" And then they have a songwriting contest that doesn't go Ed's way. And he straight up drops the Salieri Mozart comparison, which made me laugh a lot. I was one of the few in the theater who was really digging that. And then all of a sudden he gets management with Ed Sheeran's manager, who's played by Kate McKinnon. And then the plan becomes Jack Malik is going to be the biggest rock star the music world has ever seen. Gigantic double album featuring the greatest hits of the Beatles. And so he is left to struggle with not only trying to recreate these songs, but struggling with the sort of ethical ramifications of what he's doing, because these aren't his songs, but without him, these songs no longer exist. And so he has to decide what the right thing to do is. All the while he's dealing with the fact that, he maybe has stronger feelings for Ellie than he ever really thought about, but she's not someone who's interested in giving up her own life to follow around the world's greatest singer-songwriter or whatever. And so there's a lot of tension as far as what choices are going to be made. It's a movie that's got some flaws. Like, first and foremost, and this is something that's common to all movies, all these sort of parallel universe, other world sort of stories. If you pull up the threads too much, it all kind of falls apart. Like, there are certain just logistical things that don't make a ton of sense. But again, like, it's not that kind of movie. Like, it's not about the nuts and bolts. Like, you know, magical realism, you know, the one of the joys of magical realism, it's like, it doesn't matter how it happened. It's just, it happened.
You need a little willful suspension of disbelief.
Yes, absolutely. And Danny Boyle is in, you know, fine form. Like, he's such a wonderful sort of visual storyteller. And he turns those skills onto something that, you know, is, you know, in a lot of ways, a modern fairy tale, right down to the, you know, the sort of moral underpinnings at its center and the sort of inconsistent logic buried in the narrative. But Boyle does a great job. Hamish Patel is a really talented dude. Like, I'd never heard of him before. I guess he did most of his work. He's done a lot of like British, like BBC TV mm-hmm. type stuff. I'd never really seen him before. Really good voice, you know, and sells the rock star aspect of it better than I think I would have anticipated. The music again is phenomenal. Although some of the songs hold up to being sort of flattened into that sort of singer songwriter kind of coffee house guy with a guitar kind of thing than others. Like, some of them work really well. Other ones, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, I know this is a great song, so I'm into it, but like, someone listening to it for the first time in this particular capacity, is it going to have the same impact? I don't know. But again, Patel really sells it. Lily James is wonderful, although it's too bad because she kind of gets short shrift by the script. She doesn't get a whole lot to do, which is weird because Richard Curtis has some real like romantic comedy chops.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's surprising that she doesn't kind of get the sort of prominence that you might expect. But, you know, when you've got, you know, 15 Beatles songs to jam into the narrative, like, you know, something's going to fall by the wayside. And in this case, I think it's some of the development of her character.
Now, I don't want to have any spoilers here, and I don't even know what it is, but I've read a couple things that say there is an appearance of a, let's say, a historical figure late in the film that some people have found a bit off-putting. Did it work for you?
I was glad to see it, honestly. I think it was, you know, and I could see people viewing it as sort of, I don't know, almost cheating. But for me, it was a pretty simple bit of storytelling shorthand, I think, just a way to sort of establish certain paths that are being carved out at that point in the story being told. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I was actually sort of engaged by the choice. I thought it was a good one. But again, like I said, your mileage may vary, and some people are going to dig it, some people aren't. And it's that kind of movie, like where it's like there are people who are going to take umbrage, I think, with certain aspects of the musical side of things. But look, man, if you're not going to get, I'm sorry, you're not going to get deep cuts. Like that's it's not that kind of movie. Like it's one of those things where you just think about being someone who, you know, plays music for a living, and you probably know some Beatles songs, kind of, and it's like that. It's a guy trying desperately to basically salvage one of the most precious pop culture artifacts of his entire life, and he's the only one who can do it. And part of that struggle was really a big chunk of why the movie, I thought, worked really well. Does it have its issues? Yes. Does it have some flaws? Absolutely. But in terms of just pure fun, good time at the movies, I don't know if you're going to find a better one this summer, Rich. Like, it's real good.
We're going to see it. I'm on your recommendation.
Yep, you should.
Hear what those other people say. Alan likes it. It's enough for me.
Yeah.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge joining us again on Wednesday.